Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is November 27, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments in fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Canada-listed investment firm sells all its Ether, Monero to buy more Bitcoin. Quick Bitcoin price recovery looks in doubt as whales move coins onto exchanges. Crypto exchange Upbit brings in withdrawal delay in bid to tackle fraudsters. Bank of Russia fields banking industry concerns over digital ruble proposal. Crypto custodian Copper aims to bridge gap between DeFi and traditional finance with new tool. Industry pros weigh in on rumors of new crypto wallet regulations. Now let's get started. Canada-listed investment firm sells all its Ether, Monero to buy more Bitcoin. Canada-based investment firm Cypherpunk Holdings has dumped its holdings of two alternative cryptocurrencies and put the proceeds into Bitcoin. In an announcement Thursday, the company said that its Bitcoin holdings have increased to 276.479 BTC from the balance of 72.979 BTC seen at the end of the second quarter, a 279% increase. The company financed the additional Bitcoin purchases with the full liquidation of positions in privacy-focused cryptocurrency Monero and Ether, the native cryptocurrency of the Ethereum network. Part of the proceeds generated from a private placement of $505,000, nearly $400,000, closed on August 27, were also used to purchase Bitcoin. Other prominent publicly traded companies such as MicroStrategy, NASDAQ, MSTR, and Square, NYSE, SQ, have diversified into Bitcoin this year, validating, many say, the cryptocurrency's utility as an inflation hedge and a reserve asset. Cypherpunk is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the ticker HODL. Quick Bitcoin price recovery looks in doubt as whales move coins onto exchanges. Bitcoin may have a tough time charting a V-shaped recovery to recent highs in the short term, with on-chain activity showing increased selling pressure in the market. Blockchain analytics firm CryptoQuant's exchange inflow indicator, which measures the 144-block, roughly 24-hour average of mean Bitcoin deposits across major cryptocurrency exchanges, has risen to 2.5 Bitcoin, the highest level since March 20. In other words, the average size of inward-bound transactions to trading platforms has risen to 8-month highs. The data shows whales, large traders, are transferring their coins to exchanges, CryptoQuant CEO Ki Young Ju told CoinDesk. The cryptocurrency usually trades in a sideways to negative manner when whales become active on exchanges. Bitcoin is trading near $16,820 at press time, representing a 2% drop on a 24-hour basis. The cryptocurrency saw rejection above $17,400 early on Friday. The possibility of prices falling to or below Thursday's low of $16,327 cannot be ruled out, with average inflows now moving above 2 Bitcoin into CryptoQuant's danger zone. A reading above 2.00 on the indicator has consistently paved the way for notable price drops this year. The indicator rose above that level at least a week before the 40% drop seen on March 12. Similarly, the sharp sell-off seen in November 2018 was preceded by a sharp rise in the metric. Technical chart studies indicate low odds of an immediate bounce to levels above $19,000. Thursday's price drop was backed by the highest sell volume, red bar, since June 1. As such, the pullback looks to have legs. Short-term momentum indicators such as the 5- and 10-day moving averages are now looking south. Support is seen at $15,798, the 38.2% Fibonacci retracement of the rally from September low to November high. Crypto exchange Upbit brings in withdrawal delay in bid to tackle fraudsters. South Korea-based exchange Upbit has announced a limited cryptocurrency withdrawal delay in an effort to protect user accounts from malicious attacks. Scheduled to take effect on November 28, the new restriction will only allow users to withdraw digital assets equal in value to the total of Korean won, KRW, deposited 24 hours after a withdrawal was requested. The withdrawal delay is only applicable to cash deposits that are exchanged for cryptocurrency. There is no time limit on Korean won, KRW, withdrawals corresponding to KRW deposits. Similarly, users can deposit digital assets and withdraw KRW or digital assets within 24 hours. If a member with a balance of 0 won in an Upbit account deposits 1 million won and requests withdrawal of a digital asset worth 1 million won before 24 hours, the withdrawal will not work. However, after 24 hours of deposit, you can withdraw digital assets worth 1 million won at the time of withdrawal application without such restrictions, according to Upbit's notice on Friday. The new rule is aimed to help the exchange block financial frauds in advance. Bithumb specifically cites the issue of voice phishing, a form of scam that attempts to trick victims into giving up sensitive financial information over the phone. Presumably, the delay gives users a chance to block fraudsters when they receive notification of a pending withdrawal. We plan to create a reliable digital asset investment environment by taking a closer look at changes in the types of financial fraud and continually strengthening preventive measures, an Upbit official said. Bank of Russia fields banking industry concerns over digital ruble proposal. The deputy chairwoman of the Bank of Russia, Olga Skorobogatova, met with representatives of several major banks Thursday, seeking early feedback on the concept of a digital ruble. According to Russian newspaper Kommersant, the bankers were chiefly concerned over how centralized the digital currency system, currently under consideration, might be if launched. The event included representatives from institutions such as Sberbank, VTB and Gazprombank, as well as e-payment firm Givi. Russian Standard Bank Chairman Alexander Samokvalov, also at the meeting, told Kommersant that the commercial banks would support a scenario in which they would serve as intermediaries, but not one where the Bank of Russia maintains all the individual digital ruble accounts itself. The latter offers no room for commercial banks and could cause a bank run, Samokvalov said. Another participant told the newspaper anonymously that banks want more clarity on whether the digital ruble is planned as an alternative to paper cash or the current electronic payment system. They said banks don't take seriously the idea that the digital ruble would be a third form of domestic currency, as the Bank of Russia has said in a report. The meeting took place at the FinTech Association, a consortium of Russian banks and payment operators which, among other things, is developing the MasterChain blockchain platform. The Bank of Russia is planning to hold a series of such meetings, including a discussion in the Russian parliament, RBK News Agency reported. The central bank issued its report in October, outlining the possible scenarios for launching its national digital currency. Later, Chairwoman Elvira Nabulina said that she views the idea as promising and the digital ruble, if seen favorably by the market, might be piloted at the end of 2021. The decision on whether the project will be launched hasn't yet been made, with the Bank of Russia now in the information gathering phase. Crypto custodian Copper aims to bridge gap between DeFi and traditional finance with new tool. Crypto custodian Copper is looking to connect institutions to the emergent world of decentralized finance, DeFi, with a newly unveiled product. Announced Friday, Copper Connect is a bridge between Copper's existing storage services and DeFi apps. In a press release for the new tool, Copper claims DeFi risks have been decreasing, making the speculative field more appealing to institutional clients. In the past, the DeFi space was viewed as too volatile for many crypto funds. However, over recent months, the number of unaudited DeFi projects, i.e. projects where their smart contracts have not been security checked by third-party experts, have decreased, and fluctuations in value of DeFi markets have become less dramatic, Copper said. However, Decentralized Money Market OVS CEO, Stani Kulichov, said there has been a significant increase in the number of institutions looking to deposit liquidity onto our project, in the press release. No institutional client is named or quoted in the press release that may have expressed DeFi curiosity to Copper. The startup did not respond to a CoinDesk request for comment by press time. Copper's new financial plumbing provides a way to comply with institutions' exacting risk management rules, Kulichov continued. Copper Connect is an infrastructure system that provides security throughout the custody, transfer and lockup process, as an asset makes its way to a DeFi smart contract. The Google Chrome application, or browser extension, reportedly works to connect Copper's multi-party computation, MPC, custody system to both centralized exchanges and DeFi apps. When exiting a DeFi pool, assets can only be returned to the wallet from which they came, according to Copper. It is unclear whether the service is functional with all DeFi applications. OVS Kulichov said the system eliminates nearly all operational risks. Katrina Deminova, Copper's head of product, suggested it also adds efficiency. In September, crypto firm Trustology revealed a DeFi firewall to its suite of institutional investment tools, also meant to bridge the gap between traditional and decentralized finance. While Curve, another crypto custodian, now provides institutions access to the leading DeFi protocol Compound. In February, Copper raised $8 million in fresh capital with plans of expanding into new markets. Since 2017, we have seen many crypto custody solutions emerge that don't fully meet the needs of institutions, Copper CEO Dmitry Tokarev said at the time. Instead, they have built for an institutional framework that doesn't exist yet, and is unlikely ever to, leaving institutions discouraged. Industry pros weigh in on rumors of new crypto wallet regulations. Recent rumors about U.S. regulation of private, self-hosted crypto wallets have some compelling context. For example, the proposal submitted last month by U.S. authorities to lower the anti-money laundering, AML, threshold for cross-border transactions, its consultation ends today. Friday seems to support the hypothesis that outgoing Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is rapidly making more rules around crypto. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, and the Federal Reserve's rule change proposal would reduce the threshold from $3,000 to $250 for AML compliance for any transfers in crypto or fiat that go outside the U.S. Concerns over user privacy in relation to that proposed change are nothing compared to the outright fear created by Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong's tweets about the threat to self-custodied wallets, a central tenet of crypto. Shortened response period. It's worth pointing out that the notice of proposed rulemaking for the $250 threshold was given just a 30-day response period, when normally the industry would be granted 60 or 90 days. Another interesting rumor is that these stronger rule changes are coming directly from political appointees, rather than long-term career people at FinCEN or on the policy side. Many of the people at FinCEN are career people who are going to be at FinCEN 10 years from now. And they have a slow and steady process that works really well for them, said Justin Newton, CEO of NetKey, a technical solution for crypto AML compliance. Mnuchin has until January 20th to get done the things he wants to get done. This is borne out by the brisk 30-day period for response to the recent travel rule change, said Newton, which could be because they're trying to get this done before Mnuchin leaves. Another travel rule solution builder, Joseph Weinberg, co-founder of the Shift Network, said the industry and its various regulators are in an educational phase and considerations around unhosted wallets should be carefully measured. It would surprise me if something came out really quickly, Weinberg said. A big knee-jerk reaction isn't something that should happen because people are realizing that if we work together we can solve these problems. There are different ways of approaching this than just throwing a 1980s version of Swift at crypto to figure out in a year. Self-hosted crypto wallets. It's important to be clear about what regulators likely mean when they talk about unhosted or self-hosted wallets and how that relates to the global recommendations of the Financial Action Task Force, FATF. This involves creating a compliance bridge between wallets hosted by a virtual asset service provider, VASP, and an unhosted or private wallet. Technically speaking, this is not the same as the travel rule, where there are VASPs at either end of the transaction. Adding a due diligence requirement around unhosted wallets is in some way equivalent to sanctions screening in the traditional financial world, said Netkis Newton. It doesn't matter if the other end of a transaction is a bank, a VASP, the corner store or Uncle Bob, sanctions apply to every transaction that occurs, he said. Another point to note is that the U.S., were it to enact some self-hosted wallet regulation, would not be the first country to do so. In Switzerland, the Financial Market Supervisory Authority, FINMA, introduced guidelines in January 2020 requiring exchanges to implement travel rule requirements on transactions over $1,000 and where the ownership of non-custodial wallets must be proven. Right fit for FATF? The issue of private wallets has been at the forefront of the FATF agenda this year, with substantial liaison with the private sector through its Virtual Asset Contact Group, VACG, said Malcolm Wright, Advisory Council Chair at Industry Trade Group Global Digital Finance. Meanwhile, the U.S. has long been an early adopter of cryptocurrency legislation, which has provided foundational steps for the maturity of the industry, he said. If the rumors Brian Armstrong has flagged are true, we would hope that the administration will engage with industry, as the FATF has done through the VACG, to ensure the impact and shape of any proposals are right fit rather than preventative for responsible innovators, Wright said. Certain sections of the 12-month review provided by FATF this summer, paragraphs 53 and 54, hinted at the path ahead regarding unhosted wallets. In addition, the Financial Service Agency of Japan, JFSA, who is leading the FATF Working Group on Virtual Assets, has discussed the issue of lack of identity information on non-custodial wallets, said Dave Jevons, CEO of blockchain analytics firm CipherTrace. CipherTrace has been meeting with FinCEN, Treasury and FATF since 2019 on the virtual asset recommendations, and travel rule in particular, Jevons said. There has been chatter about this over the last 2 weeks, he said. Our view is that forcing a Swiss Plus model is a bad idea. This is where VASPs cannot send or receive funds from non-custodial wallets without some form of KYC declaration. This makes it more difficult for people to manage their own money, and to send money to businesses or family. It is a short-sighted move that will not stop criminals, since they will simply use layering techniques to get around these controls. Banning crypto. Summing up, Sin Jones, a partner at XREG Consulting and the driving force behind a FATF-compliant messaging standard for crypto, said the rumored U.S. regulations were entirely plausible. The U.S. is the most vociferous around the FATF table, said Jones. Much of the rules are driven by the U.S., which has been pushing hard for a fairly strict regime. The policymakers there, largely the same people, are also pushing for this kind of thing. They still say, if we're not satisfied with this, we can ban it. And they're the only country really that talks in those terms. Jones pointed to the linguistic nuance, whereby FATF refers to unhosted wallets, while everybody in the industry refers to them as self-hosted wallets. I think that itself is quite a revealing point, Jones said. To the policymakers, they see this as unhosted, uncontrolled, and stuff that is unregulated. That's where the un comes from. People in the industry see this as some self-possession thing, and therefore very different. The Treasury Department did not return requests for comment by press time. A FATF representative said it does not comment on rumors. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.